Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those are circuses on the air.
When the president does it,
sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John has been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
How are you, young man?
Good, good. Getting into, we're really kind of like an autumn mode now.
Are you? You know what? It's funny.
I'm
trying,
because we barely had a summer.
I still have a boat in the water, so I
thought you sold the boat.
I did. I bought another one. I'm an idiot. That's what they
and
always
I heard
say.
You saying, best, I'm free now.
Best day of
I
your
life.
I did say
boat.
That. I
I'm
did say
free.
That. And they say the best day of your life is when you buy it and when you sell it, is what they say. Well, you know what? I had an older one, and it the last couple of years, it was giving me some trouble, you know? So I bought a little, you know, pre-driven thing. It was like 15 years old, and it was okay, but it was just way too much maintenance. It was a little speedboat. It was a Sea Ray, and I just didn't like it. So now I bought a pontoon, like a 25-foot pontoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's new. It's fancy. It's fabulous, and I love it. And so
some of those are real nice.
Well, I can't. I don't do the big, crazy one. But what's nice is I have it parked at a friend who owns a place, owns a restaurant on the lake that we go to. And you know, you just there's live music on the weekends. Listen to live music. Yep. Have a cocktail.
Sure. Oh, now you've got me in.
Yeah, but now, you know, now I want summer to push a little bit so I can enjoy it a little bit longer.
Well,
but I think it's only going to be one more trip before the end of the month.
The thing
you know?
Of it is, though, you know, I say getting ready for fall. I like fall. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything's going to drop off a cliff right now.
And by the way, I don't mean to tell people, you know, oh, Dave's a big fancy guy. He's got a big boat and all this stuff. But, you know, a lot of you have summer homes and stuff. I just like the boat. I mean, that's my thing, is just getting out there and and doing that.
I totally understand that.
We're going to slow down at some point in January.
Yeah.
No, you got to take advantage of the weather while you can, right?
That's absolutely right. As I've said many times, a very good another good friend of mine who was from Atlanta, lived here in Chicago for a few years, avid sailor.
Yeah.
He said that he always was really impressed and curious as to, because the season is short here, how intense boaters are.
Yeah.
And they have to be.
Yeah, you have to be.
You know, the season, it's wrapping up now.
Because then it's over. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to jump into the attack on the U.S., New York City, and Washington, D.C. It was Tuesday, September 11, 2001. The attack killed almost 3,000 people, caused at least $10 billion in property and infrastructure damage, something we will never forget. And I was talking to Ashley about this because she was born in the late 90s. She doesn't. You don't remember 9/11, so to speak. So, you know, you had your moment really for you, because we're not that far apart in age, but it was a Kennedy assassination. For me, it was
for
a momentous
childhood?
News event.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I wasn't a child, but I wasn't around for Kennedy. It was 9/11 for me, too. And I remember that morning, and like we all do, like you remembered where you were when Kennedy was shot. You remember where you were in 9/11. And I'm going to hear this in a second, but I was getting ready for work, and you know, I do this regularly. I watch the WGN Morning News, and sometimes I'll flip it to the Today Show, to the top news of the hour. And, you know, the Today Show's an hour delayed when it airs here in Chicago. And when they were talking, they said, all of a sudden, there's a small aircraft that might have flown into the World Trade Center. There was an accident. We'll be right back. It literally went from like an hour delay to live. Like they almost shot right over to live.
Yes.
And really, for those first few moments, you had you assumed that it was just an accident, and a small plane just accidentally flew in the building.
When the second tower was hit, you knew it wasn't an accident.
And in Washington, D.C., it was pure panic because you thought, okay, it's Washington, it's New York, it's Chicago next, and everything was evacuated. Mm-hmm. Like, downtown offices here started to close and were evacuated. Yeah. It was a crazy day. Where were you at the time?
I was, here in Chicago, but I was working at the time there. It was 2001 for Illinois Radio Network.
Right.
And I was their morning anchor.
Right. Yeah.
And we provided updates, two-minute news updates at 45 minutes past the hour. So 7:45, our time, got done with my update.
Right, because it was just after that, right?
Yeah, as soon as I got done, I made a quick phone call, a very quick phone call, came out of the studio, and our sports guy happened to have the Today Show on in the newsroom. He said, "Dave, a plane just hit the World Trade Center."
Yeah.
And then within the hour, of course, the second one hit, and it was confusion. It was, you know, what is happening, you know, and frightening.
Yeah.
It was frightening.
Well, I'm going to play in real time what I remember from that morning on 9/11 on NBC, watching the Today Show. It's a couple of cuts. Let's take a listen.
To mention, we have a breaking news story to tell you about. Apparently, a plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center.
And this is Katie Couric and Matt Lauer that we'll be listening to.
A few moments ago, apparently, we have very little information available at this point in time. But on the phone, we do have Jennifer Oberstein, who apparently witnessed this event. Jennifer, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Can you please tell me what you saw and to give me any information about what's going on there?
Yes, I have to tell you, it's quite terrifying. I'm in shock right now. I came out of the subway at Bowling Green. I was heading to work in Battery Park at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, and I come out, and I heard a broom walked up, and there was a big ball of fire. I'm now looking north at the World Trade Center, and it is the West Twin Tower, if I'm looking north. I'm in Battery Park right now, and you can hear the fire engines and the emergency crews behind me. And it is unbelievable. When the fire first burst, it was a... Hello?
Go ahead. We can hear you.
...in air like I've never seen before. As you know, I used to work in news. I've never seen any fire like this in the air. And the pieces of the building were flying down. It looks like... It's like the top, I can't even tell you, maybe 20 floors. Intense smoke. It's horrible. I can't even describe it.
Do you have any idea what kind of plane it was?
Just in case you're tuning in, we're playing the original.
Yes, this is from
the Today Show in 2001.
Right. As
we talk about 9/11.
Reports that an airplane hit the building.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Honestly, I was walking up and it looked up and saw a big boom and fire. You know, I got to tell you, we were all saying around here that it was very interesting that it would be a bomb and it would be so high up. So perhaps it was a plane. We have no talk of a plane. However, I have to tell you, there are still things flying in the air. I mean, it's mind-boggling and it's horrifying.
Jennifer, it's Matt Lauer. I'd like to ask you, while you were close to the building, or have you, since the explosion, seen anyone who's been injured being taken out of the building? Are there ambulances dealing with people on the sidewalk around the building?
No, I have not. I have not gotten that close. I have to tell you that my father works in the World Financial Center, and I first called over there to see, because it's next door, to see, you know, if he was okay. I couldn't get through, and I'm far away right now. I thought it might be a little dangerous to get too close. I saw lots of debris coming down. And right now I'm in Battery Park. I don't know, you know, it's probably a 5-minute walk from here to the World Trade Center. But the smoke is incredible.
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it? I can see it on the shot.
Oh, my.
Something else has
just... We just saw a plane circling the building.
It is in the other building.
We just saw a plane circling the building a second ago on the shot right before
that. I think there may have been another impact. Can you tell? I just heard another very loud bang and a very large plane that might have been a DC-9 or a 747 just flew past my window, and I think it may have hit the Trade Center again.
So there we have it. That was the original coverage from the Today Show. with Matt Lauer and Katie Couric. It was just, it was chilling. It was chilling. And then there was no focusing for weeks.
Oh, no.
No.
No. One other thing very quickly, and I know we need to move on, but we had plans to go to Seattle that weekend. The following weekend.
I remember talking about this.
And we did. We made it, but it was chaotic, to say the least, to get there.
The oddest thing, I worked in Itasca at the time, and when I was driving home to my place in Chicago, we weren't even taking the expressways, I remember going directly around O'Hare. And the stillness.
Nothing.
The stillness in the air.
Around O'Hare, of all places.
Yeah.
Likewise, downtown, Dave.
Yeah.
There was, everybody went home.
Yeah.
And then we later found out that Sears Tower, Willis Tower, was indeed planned to be a target.
Crazy.
It was. I also would recommend to people that if they go to New York City and they're in Midtown,
the memorial is amazing.
Go to the memorial.
Absolutely. Yeah. Other historical moments this week, on a lighter note, 1814, Francis Scott Key inspired to write the poem Defense of Fort McHenry, words of which later became the lyrics of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes, indeed.
1857, I know we're talking about the weather changing here a little bit, Dave. The words and music to the famous Christmas song Jingle Bells was registered by Oliver Ditson and Company under the title One Horse Open Sleigh. It's 108 days till Christmas.
And guys, no one knows what a one-horse open sleigh is
anymore. No, what is that? Exactly. 1932, the Cubs clinched the National League pennant. 1934. RCA Victor released the first 33 1/3 RPM recording. It was Beethoven's fifth, 1934.
Wait, 34?
No, it was 34. 78s were still very prominent, but the first 33 that was ever produced was 34.
I'm going to say it's 1948.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right, Ashley's going to look up that up for us right now. RCA Victor, first 33 1/3, 1934. Dave says 48. Winner gets a gift certificate to Geno's.
And it was Columbia Records.
Well, okay, all right. Well, let's find out. Hold on.
Sorry, RCA, Dave.
Hold on. We're going to find out. 1934.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
Also 1934, 6,000 teenage boys marched down the middle of Addison Street. They started at Wrigley Field and headed west behind the 6,000 boys were squads of ROTC and bands from seven area high schools. They were all going to the dedication of the new Lane Technical High School on Addison and Western. Student enrollment had outgrown the old Lane High School, which was on Sedgwick Street, so the Board of Education purchased the Mid-City Golf Course and built the world's biggest high school, and that was 75 years ago.
The world's biggest Lane Tech?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mayor Ed Kelly greeted those who marched in the football field, and the first day was the following day.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Legendary school.
1949, Lone Ranger premieres on ABC TV. It first appeared in 1933 in a radio show on Mutual here on WGN, but then it wasn't until 1949 it appeared on television. I used to watch those reruns on Channel 9.
Oh, I did too.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
Are you still there?
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver, away!
All right, I'm looking here,
Indian companion Toto,
and it says, in Beethoven history, RCA Victor released the first 33 1/3 RPM recording of Beethoven's Fifth.
Okay.
And this is on several sites, but I know what you're saying, like the first,
commercial release.
Yeah.
Was the first long playing record, which is why they got the letters LP, 1948, Columbia Records. But I know RCA was involved in experimental stuff.
That's maybe what it was.
And, you know,
that maybe wasn't commercially available.
Yeah.
It was,
they were involved with experimental things, and they were making stereo recordings in the 1930s, but it was a very, very specialized,
sure,
you know,
Sure, at the time.
Strictly research and development, as they used to call it.
1948, so. Milton Berle stars his TV career in Texaco Star Theater. It was an American comedy variety show first on radio 38 to 49 and 48 to 56. Gave Milton Berle the nickname Mr. Television. And when there were commercial breaks, the New York City water levels would fall below minimums because everyone used the bathroom at the same time.
I love that story.
Let's take a listen.
One week, the Ringling Show came into town. I said, let's get the headliners.
Oh, the circus, yeah.
Yeah, the circus. Ringling, Bonham and Bailey. And they had an act there called Pallenberg's Bears. The bears walked around and they stood on top of each other, you know.
Yeah.
They did that.
Yeah. It was a bear, an animal act.
The bear act, an animal act. Opened the show. Ladies and gentlemen, after I did my opening line, good evening, folks. Is this a jury or an audience? I don't know what I said. Some a one-liner. I'll tell you what happened. I was walking down the street. Don't laugh, lady, like you saw my mother.
Yeah.
You may have children of your own. I don't know. And ladies and gentlemen, here they are from the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Show. Pallenberg's Bears. Music. Yum. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. You know, the hurry up.
Yeah.
And they all come out. But a mistake was made. The trainer of the bears, who was with him a long time, was a little tipsy and a little drunk, and also forgot to take the bears out before the show to do their duty.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you hear this all the time with live television, obviously, that happened there. 1953, Ernie Banks became the first Chicago Cubs, first black player for the Chicago Cubs. 1964, of course, we're in TV premiere season in September. Bewitched premiered in 1964. God, 55 years ago. Holy smokes. Lost in Space, Mary Tyler Moore, and MASH. 1968, Richard Nixon appeared on Laugh-In. And that was a big deal.
Suck it to me.
But that was a big deal because, I mean, he did the, you know, early on when he first made his first appearances on television in the Kennedy-Nixon debates, I mean, it was awful.
Oh, yeah. And then later on, he was on, I think it was Jack Parr before Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And he was very uncomfortable. You could tell he was stiff and didn't really fit into the whole flow of things.
Here's a little clip from Laugh-In.
NBC. Beautiful downtown Burbank. Oh, hello, Governor Rockefeller. Oh, no. I don't think we could get Mr. Nixon to stand still for a sock it to me.
Sock it to me?
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was a hip show back then. 82, first issue of USA Today, published by Gannett and Company. It was in 1982. 1987, Walter Payton scored an NFL record 107th rushing touchdown. Let's just take a little listen to Jared talking about
it. Having Walter Payton as my dad was pretty much the gift and the curse. People said you weren't good enough because they were holding you to his standard, but it was something that I knew in my heart was something that was special just because my dad was a superhero. He was everybody's superhero, but he was also dad.
Have a great weekend, Dave.
You too, Dave.